Okay, can everyone hear me well? Can everyone hear me clearly? Michal, can you hear me?
Well, I can hear you. Yeah. I wish you were speaking louder, but yes, I can hear you.
Okay, I'm speaking loud. I really am speaking loud.
You're speaking very loud. I don't understand.
I don't know why you don't hear me.
I don't know what to tell you.
All right, I don't know. I'm speaking as loud as it gets.
Don't worry about it.
I'll change a setting here. I'm changing one setting. Maybe it'll be a little bit better. All right, let's learn. We're up to over here. We'll do the Gra. We're going to do the Gra. The Gra is on Pasiches Havin Harim Chod Hashem Im Bana Harim Apecha Im Bayam Evasecha Kisirkav Al Susecha Makvasecha Yeshua. So we spent some time yesterday and on Friday last week. We spent a lot of time on this pasuk. We learned about all the different perushim, the possibilities for the word for the three rivers. There are three rivers presented here in this pasuk: the Vinharim, the Neharim, and there is the Yam. And the simplest understanding of this pasuk is this poetic repetition: the Vinharim and the Neharim refers to the Yarden, the crossing of the Yarden when Klal Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael. The Yam refers to Kriyas Yamsuf. Okay, I muted you all. Okay, everyone has not been muted. So we learned the simple understanding over here is that these two, the two rivers refer to the rivers of the Yarden, and the Yam is Kriyas Yamsuf. And then we came across a very beautiful parish from the Sipurno, where he told us that the Vinharim refers to the river of Arnon, Nachale Arnon. Nachale Arnon, the miracle where Klal Yisrael was traveling in the desert, when they were traveling in the desert and they came into a very dangerous territory where our enemies were lying in ambush, waiting to hurt us, and miraculously the mountains came together and crushed our enemies. And then Hashem sent the river of Arnon to bring the blood of our enemies and their body parts and their other wealth in front of the people, Klal Yisrael traveling. They should witness the miracle that Hashem has done for us by obliterating our enemy. That was Banaharim. That was the Vinharim. The Naharim is the Yarden of Eretz Yisrael as we entered into the land. And the third, of course, is the Yam is Kriyas Yam. That's what we learned on Friday from the Sipurno. Now let us take a look at the Gra. The Gra Pasuches says, Havinarim Chod Hashem. I'm reading over, you have it on the screen. Hainu Shnei Neharim Heim Nachle Arnon V'Yarden. So the Gra is following in the approach of the Sipurno. We're discussing the Nachle Arnon V'Yarden. V'chol Echad Mehem Shnei Neharim. Ki Nivku'u V'Nechleku. Each one of them, the Gra is addressing something which no one else addressed. Why is it B'Lashon Rabin? Why, if we're going to refer to the Yarden that stopped flowing in order to allow us to enter into Eretz Yisrael, why is it expressed b'lashon rabim? It should be b'lashon yachid. There was only one Yarden. So the Gra says, "Haynu shnei neharim heim anachlanu v'chol echad mehem shnei neharim." Why? Ki nifku'u v'nechleku, they split. Now that is very bizarre. Why is that bizarre? Because that's not the Pshuta Shel Mikra. The Pshuta Shel Mikra regarding the Yarden, when we came into Eretz Yisrael, is not that the Yarden split. It's that the Yarden stopped flowing and it built up as a mound, but not that it split. Where does it say anywhere that the Yarden split? Number two, in regard to Nachal Arnon, whoever said the miracle was that the Nachal split. The simple understanding is that the Nachal was diverted to present the blood and the body parts of our enemies. So where do we get this idea? Where is the Gemara getting this idea that these Yardin of Arnon, the Yardin of Eretz Yisrael, it's split? That's not the Pshutoi Shol Mikra. Okay, so it's something very different, unique, to pay attention to, that they're telling us things here that we are definitely not familiar with. Next words are, Im Bayom Evrosecho, Hashem, are you angry at the Yam? Who klal hamemois ki kasher nifka hayom nifku kol hamayonos shalmaylo v'shaltochem rabba. Now he's the Yam here also, the Gro is deviating from the Pshut Shal Mikra. We're now referring only to the Yam, referring to all of the waters of the world, because there is a Medrash that tells us that when Hashem split the Yam for Klal Yishol to pass in order to be spared from the Egyptians, the Yam was not the only body of water that split. Every body of water throughout the entire world split. Okay, so then this is indeed really a machlekes. What exactly split? Fine, it is what it is. Now, ze koilel hayom bi'echad v'hanoharos bi'echad. Ve ze koilel hayom v'hanoharos bi'echad. Okay, so these two expressions, whatever this refers to, all the water split. V'yom chazal b'chagiga, al shishu dvarim b'hoi l'moyimed, v'ruach u'so'oro nichlal bi'echad. V'zroya shal kodesh baruch hu ne'amar bi'echad, v'ushnayim k'mo sh'ne'amar, u'mitacha zira ois olam. Okay, there are six things upon which the world stands. One is wind. Number two is the arm. Zeroya shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the strength. Uritzon Eloi Ma'ashem Shnei Koichos Echad Oymin Al Chaveru K'mosh Amru B'Koyach U'V'Gvura V'Kul M'Chlon B'Tevas Rishon HaVin Harim. Okay, he's saying over here very deep things. That's why I tend to shy away from the Gra, because the Gra's words are over my head. Let's just go further. V'chein Nechlolim B'Shiva Tevin Kolecha B'Teva Miuchedes. Okay, this is a little bit over my head. He's telling us over here that the word Havin Harim is plural, that's two. Bana Harim is plural, that's four. Yam is six. And Im is seven. Something along those lines. Two, four, six. Havin Harim is two. Banaharim is two, Yam are all the bodies of the world, which is also plural. He wants to suggest an Im, or maybe not, maybe means Yam is one, but it says here the word Im twice. Im Banaharim and Im Bayam Evrosecha. Okay, let's just go further. V'hei nechlokim l'shiva u'shnayim. V'chein kol shiva nechlokim, I'm going to just go for this, is a little bit over my head, let's just jump all the way down. Okay, let's go down to the bottom. The very bottom is Apecha v'Evrosecha. Apecha v'Evrosecha. You see there towards the bottom. Heim shnayim hayiduim v'chulhoin mismatkim b'korbonos. All of these forms of anger can be dissipated, can be calmed through the bringing of korbanos. The amru beidra rabba. What is idra rabba? The zohar. The zohar is broken into two parts: the idra rabba and the idra zuta. The oiver al pesha lematik abra al pumei. That Hashem sweetens his anger ad pumei until his mouth. Diyema Salachti, Hashem says, I forgive you. My mashma v'oivar pesha, shefa, bizir anpink, and this is over my head. Let's jump down further. This is way over my head. Let's jump down to the bottom. The bottom over here is im banaharim. Okay, toward on the left side. On the seats in bold, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 A line shaman from the bottom. Manhorim v'zehin ma'ashenemar haboyne ba'shamayim ma'aloisa v'hein shiva ma'alois la'shamayim. This is a more Kabbalistic thing which we're a little more familiar with. That we have a tradition. There are seven heavens. Some people have the custom when they recite Kriya Shema and they come to Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echod, when they come to the letter Ches, they think that Hashem is on the eighth heaven. There are seven heavens, and Hashem is above these seven heavens. If I'm not mistaken, Rav Moshe Feinstein says that there is no such Maimer Chazal. This is fantasy. For a person to have this machshava, when he says Kriya Shema, that Hashem is on the eighth heaven, it doesn't say this anywhere. And he's strongly, if I'm not mistaken, Rav Moshe is very strongly against this, what people, that they say they do. Incorrect. The only thing you think about is the Dalit are the four sides of the world, Dalit, the Dalit Ruchos Hashamayim, but this that people extend the Dalit Ruchos Hashamayim to the Ches, and the Ches represents that Hashem is above the seven worlds. That is something that it does not say anywhere. Now that it doesn't say anywhere, I do not know, but the connection to the Ches is Rav Moshe holds a little bit stretched, but here the Gra does make this point. Habayne b'ashamayim ma'aloisav, Hashem builds in heaven his chambers. Vehein shiva ma'alois la'ashamayim, there are seven chambers in heaven. Shiva amudim vehein shiva ma'alois la'aretz, there are seven pillars on this world. Kumosh nemar va'agudos la'aretz yasta, heim shiva ma'alois haniskadim la'el. As we said before, in this pasuk we know that Hashem, above this world, there's worlds of water. They're always looking, scientists are always looking to discover water on other planets. They feel that if they find water, that means there's a sign of life. Chazal say, we're way ahead of them. Chazal say that life is really found by Hashem, that above this world, there are worlds of water. And that's what it says in Ma'ase Bereishis. Vayavdil Elokim, Hashem separated bein hamayim asher mitachas larakia uvein hamayim asher me'al larakia. So we learn from Chazal that indeed that in the upper worlds there is water. Now how many different types of waters are there in the other world? So the Gra is giving us a very mystical interpretation to this pasuk, that these words here, the vin harim and the naharim and the yam, with the word im twice, alludes to the bodies of water that are found in Hashem's upper chambers. Okay, if that's not Kabbalah for you, then I don't know what is. Heim sheva ma'alois haniskonim le'el ma'ash omar al haynu akumosh nemar al p'nei ha'tohoim. And here he goes on to describe these different bodies of water. Okay? Then he goes on, there's another entire page of Gra. I didn't prepare the Gra. I should have spent more time on the Gra. Maybe we'll find over here something that's more down to earth that we can take away from, which we usually do. But I think for now, that's going to be enough. I think now we have to go further. Let's go back. We were up to, we really started Pasuk Tes. We were middle Pasuk Tes. I just wanted to go back a little bit. But now we're going to return to our regular scheduled programming. Okay, so back to Pasuk Tes. We started this last week. We did the Mitsudos with the word Sela, the parenthetical translation, and we didn't get, I don't think even we did the Rashi. So let's read Pasuk Tes one more time. Erya Se'ar Kashtecha Shivuois Matois Oimer Sela. Hashem has exposed his weapons. We have different translations. Shivuos, in order to fulfill the oath that he took to the tribes of the Jewish people. Sela, forever. Neharois tevaka aretz, the rivers break forth the earth. Okay, let's review the Mitsudos again. Let's review the Mitsudos and we'll go quick. Pasuk Tes in the Mitsudos David. Erya seyar kashtecha. Nigloi niglesa kashtecha. According to the Mitsudos, the word area and the word se'or are the same word. There is poetic repetition, and the two words together mean expose. And we read the word backwards. We read the expression to mean, Hashem, you have exposed your keshes. Okay, you have exposed your weapon. Nigloy niglais nigloy niglusa kashtecha lilchay mul ha'umais. You have exposed your weapons to fight against the nations of the world. And why did you do this? Why did you fight against the nations of the world? It's because of the oath that you took to the to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. You're faithful to the others. This statement, the words of this oath, will endure forever. Therefore, the end of the pasuk, which is the fourth river, remember that we had last week, the fourth river, the rivers broke forth the earth, so that they shall have water to drink. In other words, the Be'er of Miriam. Okay, the Be'er of Miriam. This is the Shiro that will go, that's Parshas Chukas. 2 weeks. Right, is it coming up in 2 weeks? Parshas Chukas is the Be'er of Miriam. So he learns here that according to the Mitzudos, the end of the Pasuk, that says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu miraculously provided the Jewish people with water in the desert, in the form of what we call the Be'er Miriam, is what it alludes to over here at the end of the pasuk, Nehorois, the rivers, Tevaka Oretz, that broke forth from the earth to provide sustenance for the Jewish people. All was in fulfillment. This was the fulfillment of the Omer, of the statement, the words that you took as an oath, a Shavuos, as an oath to the tribes of the Jewish people that should endure forever. And in addition, you have also exposed your weapons and taken revenge against the enemies of the Jewish people in order to fulfill your promise to the Avos. In other words, according to the Mitzvah Stavah, this pasuk is jam-packed. It's jam-packed what it says over here. We can read the pasuk one more time. We have pasuk that's Area, Se'ar, Kashtecha, Shavuos, Matois, Oimer, Sela, Nehorois, Tivaka, Oretz. Many ideas. Review. Area Se'ar Kashtecha, Hashem, is the subject of this expression. Hashem, you, at the time when your people passed in the desert and were in great danger, you exposed your might in the form of a keshes. A keshes is a bow and arrow, a weapon. It's a metaphor. It's as if you made it be known that no one should dare start up with the people who are traveling in the desert, because Hashem is their power, is their might, and will protect them. Why, Hashem, were you so gracious, so kind, to guarantee the safety and the security of your people? And the answer is because Shavuos, Matos, Omer, Sela. We're going to read the words backwards. Omer, the words of Shavuos, of the oath that you took, Matos, to the tribes of the Jewish people, Sela, is good as gold. It will endure forever. You said words in the form of an oath to your tribes that you will take care of them and protect them, and you guarantee that this will be forever. And in addition to protecting us with your might in the desert, you also provided water to drink in the desert. Nehorois, rivers broke forth, Tevakarets broke forth in the earth. That is the Mitzudos of it. Okay, now we're going to review the Rashi. Rashi, Area, Se'ar, Kashtecha, Niglo, Niglesa, Begivurasecha. Hashem, you exposed, Niglo, Niglesa, Begivurasecha. Exactly the same thing as the Mitzudos of it. He learns Rashi, the words Area and Se'ar both mean the same thing. It means to expose. You have exposed your Kashtecha, your mighty bow, your power. Next words, Shavuos Matos, Shavuos Shenishbata Lashvatim, the oaths that you have taken to the tribe, same thing as Rashi, Omer, Sela, Amamar, Kayom Laolam, is a word, is a statement that will endure forever. Omer Nokud Patach, the Omer, the vowel, the Omer, the Nikud is a Patach. Now what do we mean a Patach? We have here the word Omer. How could it mean? Let's see. Ubetamo lemala shu shem davar, and it is mila. Here we're going into some grammar. It is mila el, not mila ra. Now you don't have this. I have here on the side over here. I'll read you very quickly over here. The Siv says Zakenim explaining what Rashi over here is trying to bring out. Oimer Sela Perish Rashi. Oimer Nokapatach Vatamo Blamala Shuhu Shem Davar Atkan. Ritzon Elaimar. Nokut Patach. Dahainu Patach Koton Shu Segol Tachasamem. Okay, so here we learn a very important Yisrael. In fact, let me put this on the screen because this is something that is interesting that you don't come across often, and it's worthy to see the words inside. It's worthy to see what the Sivsei Zakenim says. Okay, the Siv Sizekim is coming to explain Rashi. Why? Rashi says something over here very bizarre. Rashi says that the word Omer Selamama Kayam Lolam, Omer Nokut Patoch. Excuse me? Patoch? Where in the world is there a Patach in the word Omer? Omer is a Cholam and a Segol. Omer. What in the world is, and where, and if you look in the Pasuk, where's the Tami HaMikra? We have a Munach, Mercha Tipcha, Munach Esnachta. The word Omer has a Munach beneath the Aleph. It's Milera, not Mila'el. The emphasis is on the second to last syllable, which is the Aleph, not the Mem. Okay, so there are three grammatical points to take note of the Aleph. A cholam, on top of the Aleph, a segel underneath the Mem, and a munach underneath the Aleph as the Tamei HaMikra, which makes the word into a mila'el. The emphasis is on the second to last syllable, not the default on the last syllable. And Rashi comes along and he surprises us by telling us Mamar kayam la'olam, Omer, the word Omer, nakud, is vowelized, a patach, with a patach, v'ta'amo l'mala, and the ta'ame hamikra, the melody, the musical note, appears l'mala in the beginning of the word, what we like to say, the second to last syllable, and then, shehu shem davar, because this word is a noun, the name of an object, a noun. Siv says the Kainim. Oimer Sela, Perish Rashi, Oimer Nokud Patach, V'tamo Lamala, Shuhud Shem Dover, Adkan. Ritzoin Lomer, what does that mean? Nokud Patach, Tahainu Patach Koton. Rashi has a new vocabulary. A Patach, there's a Patach Godol, and a Patach Koton. A Patach Koton is Shuhu Segol, Tachas Hanem, Mibnei Shehu Shem Kmo Kodesh, Chodesh, the Kal Hovin, easy to understand. Okay, so at least we get an appreciation that there's a Patach Gadol, Patach Katan, A and E somehow, some way are related. I have no idea how they're related. To me, this is all Greek, but an A and an E are related. An E is a shorter form. It is a shorter syllable than an A. Or an A is a long syllable. It takes time to get the sound out of your mouth. Ah, like you take a child to a doctor and they open up your mouth, stick out your tongue and say, ah. That's, you say, when the doctor, next time he says that to you, to open up your mouth and say ah, you say, you mean I should say a patach godol. Just say to the doctor, what are you beating around the bush? What you really want me to do is to say a patach godol. Ah, If you say eh, that's a patach katon. Fine. Next. Omer Rashi Kari Lesegel Patach.
May I say something? Yes. In this dikduk business.
Yes.
Omer, there is two words. You can say Omer and Omer. Omer means a poal. Says.
A verb.
Omer, it's amira. A saying. Amira. So what Rashi calls patach is in contradiction to kamatz. Kamatz is tnu'a gdola, and patach is tnu'a ktana. So he says that the mem, under the mem, there is a tnu'a ktana, which is like a patach in comparison to kamatz. So it's a patach, a kavanah tnu'a ktana, which makes it like an omer and not omer.
Right.
So it's a noun and not a poal. That's what Ruti says.
When you have, when it's milara, it's...
A patach is an example of tnu'a ktana in comparison to kamatz, which is tnu'a gdola. That's all. That's what he
said. He's saying that the Hashem's word is gold. Hashem is not speaking. As he's saying, it's a noun. The word of Hashem endures forever. We're not describing here Hashem actually speaking. We're describing the word of Hashem. The word of Hashem is something which endures forever. It's a shem davar. As you're saying, Oimer Rashi, kori letzegel patach, vehi shem davar, kmo mamor, vehanegina, mele eltach aso aleph, ulam, omer, with a tserei, a tserei, shahamem b'tserei, hi beinoni poel, that would be, what appears to be a verb. Omer means you're actually speaking. It is a verb. Okay, let's go further. Let's go further in the next Rashi. Rashi, Neharois, I don't know if you have on the next page, on Rashi says, Neharois, Tevaka Oretz, Kitargumoi. Let's look at the Targum. Okay, let's go to the Targum. Let me take this down from the screen. If you look at the Targum, okay, do you have here the Targum? I'll put the Targum up for you, just in case you don't have it. I have to get quick at this. The Targum here says, okay, Targum's words are iskila'a, iskilesa, Bigvurascha. So right away the Targum learns that the two words area and se'ar both mean revelation. They both mean the same exact words. Bigvurascha, bedil, kiyamach de'im shiftaya membrach. So that, bedil means so that, you will fulfill, you will be true to your shivatim, to your tribes, membrach, your name, your words, kayom le'olmin lehoin, it should be so that your word should be true forever and ever. Then the next page, he writes here something a little bit different. This is where we get to Neharois Tevaka, what Rashi over here is referring to as Neharois Tevaka Aretz. Here he says, "Be ziasa tinorin in your fear, tinorin takifin nafku naharin shotfin ara." Now tinorin means, I'm not sure what the word tinorin means, but great nafku naharin shitofin ara. Biziasa tinorin, takifin. Does anyone know what those words mean? Tinorin, takifin. Biziasa, in your zeya, tinorin, takifin, They were, I'm not sure.
Zeya is a movement. When it,
That's right, that's Zeya. And what's the mean, Tinorin? Tinorin. Mountains? Okay, I'm not sure. Let's see. We'll see the other Mefarshim. We'll probably become clear on the other Mefarshim. Let's now look at the, let's look over here at the Radak. Radak, Pasik, Pasik Tess. I took the wrong pasuk. I made a mistake. I took the wrong picture. Okay, Radak Pasuk Tes, Erya Seir Kashtacha.
Rabbi Levine?
Yes.
I found the translation of the Targum that we were just looking at.
Okay, what is it?
It says, you split mighty rocks, rivers came forth, inundating the land.
You split mighty rocks. Tinarin is a rock. A rock. You split tivaka. So what did Hashem split? He split rocks. Okay. He split rocks and mighty waters came forth. Rashi, the Mitzudos told us it refers to the Be'er Miriam. And the Targum is not the Targum. And Rashi, they're not telling us exactly what this is referring to. It's just telling us over here that waters came forth and it's a mystery to us what they are alluding to. Okay. I don't know. I really don't know. Let's take a look at the Radak. The Radak of the Apostolic Pasuk says, just like in the past, we compared Hashem's mighty hand that he did in Egypt and the salvation to a person who rides on a horse. We are using metaphors. We are giving Hashem human characteristics in order that we can understand what we can relate to Hashem. And at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we compared Hashem to a human being who is traveling on a chariot. Hashem ish milchama. Hashem shemo. Hashem is traveling on a chariot. Here, kendima oisol le soifes hakeshes. Now we're shifting gears, and now we're comparing Hashem to a soldier, a warrior, who is shooting a bow. Uperish area inyan gilui, revelation, kimo niglasa zero acha alehem. Okay, everyone says the same thing like that. Who shame kumo iroim be area, v'se'ar gam kein inyan gilui ela she'enay misharsho. It also means the second word is a little bit more precise. The two words mean exactly the same thing, even though the second word is not exactly the same. However, ki area minachei halamed v'se'ar nifal minachei ha'ayin. Okay, both of them are working with different grammatical forms. One with the ayin, one with the lamed. V'chein inyan gilui misharsho peshota v'ora. Lamad, he's setting up a different psukim, which bring out the point that these two words mean to expose. Hashem here is exposing, is showing the world his mighty weapons. You know, it's not for nothing that nations of the world, they have parades. And what do at their military parades? They display their weapons. Trump, he desperately wants to do the same thing. The Pentagon always tries to hold him back. If it was up to Trump, the United States would have a parade no different than what they have in Iran. Iran, they go and they parade weapons. Difference is the weapons in Iran don't work. They're just museum pieces. They don't work. The weapons that the United States have, they work. And Trump would be very happy to have a parade where he can display in front of the whole world all of his missiles and toys and other weapons of mass destruction. The Pentagon feels that it's not the American way to display the weapons in such a bombastic and arrogant way. So they try to hold him back. But by his inauguration, by his inauguration, he did have some, to some degree, he broke tradition where he did have to some degree some display of the military might of the United States of America. Here, the pasuk over here is interesting, is telling us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he is exposing, he is revealing his power. And the power that we can relate to as human beings is of a bow and an arrow. Because in ancient times, that was represented great sophistication to have precision in shooting missiles. Even today, the big deal, they just launched SpaceX. What was the greatest gedula of what they've done? They're able to launch missiles from outer space. They launch some type of thing where they can, you know, it's all, what is a missile? A missile is nothing more than a modern day bow and arrow. You can sit on having a ship in the middle of the Atlantic, middle of the Pacific, a little teeny raft, and from that, you can go and you can take out a target anywhere in the world. It's unbelievable. It's nothing more than a modern day bow and arrow. The Ribbono Shel Olam was way ahead of his time, and he is showing, I have the best missiles. My missiles are much more sophisticated than anything that a human being can possibly do. My midrash, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Erya, Se'ar Kashtech, you Hashem have revealed to the world your missiles, your bow and arrow. Next, Shavuos Matos Emesela, Asisikol
Zelik. By the way, it shows, it says, Neharot Tevaka Aretz. Before we were talking about the water split. Now he says, now the water can split a land.
Well, the earth is splitting. Is that what it means? The rivers are splitting the earth. Okay. Interesting. Until now, the waters were splitting.
Also a strong thing.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Hashem has different weapons, like we say here. Like you can say the water can split, and the water can split something else. Which, like Rabbi Akiva saw, that the water makes a hole in the rock. So that's a powerful thing.
It is. Yes.
Land.
Very, very interesting. You're saying very good over here that we're shifting from the water splitting to now the water is not splitting, but it's causing the earth to crack. And if you go back, Havin Arim Nuchar Hashem, Banohodim Apecha, Beyame Rosecha, you know something, if we go, you know, you just touched upon something which is very interesting. I want to take what you just said and go a step further, Rav Kalman. According to the parish of the Sipurno and the Gra, they both understood the word Havin Harim refers to Nachal Arnon. The Naharim refers to the Yarden. The Yam refers to Kriyas Yamsuf. And now when we come to Neharos Tevaka Oretz, it refers to the Be'er of Miriam. Correct? That's what we're doing. Exactly what you said. The first river. Now, it's not what the Gross said, but maybe it's what the Sipurno says. The first river, the Vin Harim, what was the miracle? The miracle wasn't the splitting of the water. That's not the Pshuta Shel Mikra. When we study the parsha of Nachal Arnon, the miracle of the Nachal was Hashem diverted. Hashem redirected the flow of the Nachal from its ordinary path to make the Jewish people aware of the miracle that has happened. The waters did not split. Nothing happened to the waters. The miracle was the waters were diverted in a different direction. Then we come to the Yarden. The waters of the Yarden did not split. The waters of the Yarden stood still. Here there was a greater miracle. It wasn't just that the waters were diverted in a different direction. They didn't take a detour, but the waters were flowing downstream, and miraculously it stopped. It just stopped and collected, created a mound, did not proceed downstream. The next miracle is even greater, Kriyas Yamsuf, where the waters themselves split. And then comes the greatest miracle of them all, where the waters caused the earth to split. The Naharois, the rivers, Tevaka Oretz, the rivers caused, as you want to read the words precisely, Nehorois, Tivaka Hifil, caused the earth to split. We are going in Madregos. We're going higher and higher Madregos. They're all miracles, without question. But what is the simplest miracle? When the waters were rerouted. The next miracle is where the waters just stopped flowing downstream. It collected like a mound. The next miracle is where the waters split. And the third miracle is, even greater, where water can cause the earth to split. That an object can have an effect on something else, that's even greater. It's one thing when you can perfect yourself. People, they can work very, very hard. You know, after a person dies and they have a hespedim. So what do they say about a person? So most people they say this person was a very good person. He worked his whole life. He was an honest person. Talking about good people, of course. I'm not talking about, you know, I don't want to get into political trouble here and start mentioning some other people who recently have left this world through. But there are people here who lived an honest, good life, and they left this world, and you say about them, they were good people. But there's a higher madrega, and that is when you say about a person that he wasn't just good, he influenced other people. He left his mark on other people. He caused other people to be better people. So it's a miracle that, number one, the waters were diverted. It's a greater miracle the waters stood still. They did not flow downstream. It's even a greater miracle for the waters to split right down the center. But the ultimate miracle is where the waters have the power to influence something else, to cause the earth to crack, to cause the earth to split. Rav Kalman, I believe this, what you're saying over here, I'm drawing upon what you said, to go through the four madrigos of the miracles in the water. Okay, let's go further.
Actually, every nahar goes in between two parts of land. It lasted for many, many, many years to create like this. Like you have a Yarden. Yarden goes between two sides of land. And the water actually got there. And that's what happened. That's the miracle. It's one miracle of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that water pushes away the land into two sides.
It broke the water. It caused the earth to split. Right. I mean, the question is, what exactly is the context of the earth splitting over here? But yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's go further. The next words of the Radak are Shavuos Matos Oymesela Asisa Kol Zelikaim Hashavuos Hashanishvata Laavas Loses Lema Haaretz. All of the miracles you did, Hashem, were all for one purpose: in order to be faithful, to be true to your promise, what you promised Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, v'zehu Omer Sela, your word Hashem, your Omer, your word is Sela, will endure forever. Omer, Omer Sela, k'loimar l'kayem ha-Omer she'amarta. Omer, shame, it is a noun. B'shekel, in the same grammatical form as the words chodesh and kodesh. Okay, the next page, Radak, on the next page. Here it comes. Nehoros Tivaka. Okay, the rivers Tivaka. Bokato lohem ha'oretz ha'yivesho loseis lohem mayim rabim kimei ha'nehoros. Hashem provided them with the be'er of Miriam. Kumashakosov, Vayotzi, Noislim, Misola, Hashem brought forth flowing water from the rock. Vayored, Kanahoros, Moyim, Ke Hashem brought forth water. I guess he's saying over here the rock, the splitting, Moshe hit the rock. Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock. And from that came the water. The Nahorois, Hashem used water, Yotzi, Noislim, Misola. Vayored, Kanahoros, Moyim, Vialader, Hazet, Tirgim, Yonasan, Iskilo, Iskiles. Big vursach, you have revealed your might. Bedil ki yamach the im shivtaya memrach, so that you should fulfill with your shivatim the memrach kayom le'olmin lehoin bezata in your might tinorin takifin mighty rocks, mighty mountains nafku neharin brought forth water shotfin ara the earth flowed. The earth flowed forth with water in your might. All right, now let's take a look. Now that concludes. Let's take a look at the Malbum. The Malbum, we already did the Malbum. See, that's why I'm a little bit confused, because we did this Pasuk before. We did the Malbum in advance. The reason why we did the Malbum in advance of everything that we did today was because the Malbum connected this Pasuk back with the previous Pasuk. The Malbum connected Pasuk Ches with Pasuk Tes, and we last week spent a lot of time on the Malbum, and the Malbum had a very different Perushim on this Pasuk. And just to review outside, what did the Malbum say? Kashtecha refers to the rainbow. He learned the Kashtecha, the rainbow that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us very great miracles. Hashem told the Yarden to split, the Yam to split, in order to allow us to enter into Eretz Yisrael, in order to take us out of Egypt. But there's a danger. And the danger is that when Hashem gives license to nature to deviate from their norm, they can get out of hand. You give it a finger, it can take a finger, it wants a hand. So Hashem had to restrain the Yam by showing the Yam, the rivers, the Keshes. Listen, I permitted you to deviate from the norm. I permitted you to split to allow the Jewish people to pass. But I did not give you permission to destroy the world. I let the Yam split to let the Jews leave Egypt. But I did not give you permission to destroy the world. And the way Hashem reminds the Yam not to get carried away, to be checked and balanced, is by showing the Yam the rainbow. Because the purpose of the rainbow is a sign to the waters of the world that don't deviate from what is normal. At the time of the Mabul, Hashem allowed the waters of the world to exceed their limits, their bounds, and it destroyed the world. Any time in the future when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will allow the waters to do things that are abnormal, it has to be held back in moderation. The words of the Malbum are so deep and so profound. Let's appreciate this for a moment. Let's just dwell upon this for one moment. What exactly happened at the time of the Malbum? At the time of the Malbum, what destroyed the world? Water. There was a flood. The word Mabul means a flood of water. The Tehoim opened up, the Shemayim, there was water below, water above, water everywhere. The whole world was flooded from all sides. So now the Mabul is over. The Mabul is over, the waters have receded, the Teva has landed, has settled, the earth became hard like a crust, and now the pandemic is over, and we can resume life. Life now will resume. Baruch Hashem, Chaste Hashem, Hoidu Hashem, Kitov, Kili Olam Chasta. I see even the Yom Kislev Avenue J is open. Everyone has opened up. I know in Boston, my sister Shul there, they're very in Boston there. They're from the extreme of the extreme. And even in Boston, they've opened up the shuls now. They've opened up the shuls, at least in Mincha Maariv. So Chaste Hashem, we've come to a Makom Zman, where Baruch Hashem, the world is slowly and cautiously coming back in operation. So after the Mabul, it was the same thing. Everyone was sheltered in place. They were locked up tight in the Mabul. And now the table landed. And then things are getting better. Noach opens up the table, they go outside. Hashem says to the waters, listen, I used you as a tool to destroy the world. Now listen to this. Hashem says to the waters, I'm going to need you again. It ain't over yet. I'm going to need the waters, you waters, to do some destructive actions and behavior in the future. I'm going to need you to destroy the Egyptians. I'm going to need you to do miracles, do strange things, to let the Jewish people come into Eretz Yisrael. I'm going to need you to destroy Sisera and his 900 chariots. I'm going to need tornadoes, hurricanes, tsunamis. I'm going to need you. There's going to have to be another Mabul in this world, not just one Mabul. I mean, there have been Mabuls throughout the world. But here's the difference. When I use you again in the future, it's going to be with moderation. It's not going to be with extremism. The average person thinks, when you learn the Psukim, there was a Mabul, and now the Mabul is over, and Hashem says, never, ever, ever again, we're done with this. We're over. Never will there be the waters destroy the world. And the sign that will never be anything like this again is the keshest, is the rainbow. The Malbum says that's wrong. That is absolutely incorrect. Hashem says to the waters, when the Malbum was over, you did a very good job. You get an A+ for what you've done. You've done the mission. You've destroyed the world. And you know something? You did such a good job. I'm hiring you again. I want a repeat performance many times. You're so good. I give you exclusive contract to destroy the world hundreds of times in history. One difference though. Don't go to such an extreme. When you do your mission in the future, do it with moderation. Moderation. And the object that's going to be the object that will keep you in check will be the keshes. The keshes allows you to destroy, but with moderation. That's what it says here in this pasuk, according to the parish of the Malbim. Hashem havin harim chara Hashem im banaharim apecha im bayomer vasecha. Hashem over here is using water to do outrageous things. Yet Hashem says eriyos seyar kashdecha. Hashem reveals the keshes. Listen here. Don't get carried away. Don't go destroy the world. You know, I got to tell you, George Floyd, okay? You know, when they first kneeled before him, they first kneeled the first time. I was torn. I was very torn. On the one hand, what are you kneeling for? What is this? What is this, Mishigas? To kneel and to express your solidarity. What's going on over here? Mitzat Sheini, I was very moved. I thought it was brilliant. It squashed their ferocious anger. It was peaceful. Okay, it was very nice. But you know something? Now, Baruch Hashem, I'm not a university. I'm not a university. I'm not a political organization. I'm not running for office, so I can say what I think. I can say whatever because I'm not running. I'm not. You know, every yukel has to, every organization has to make a statement. You know, it wasn't such a good idea. I'm telling you, it wasn't such a good idea in hindsight to kneel before Floyd, because let me tell you from Chazal. Chazal say, if a Jew steals pachus mishava pruta, he's potter. Could you imagine that? If you steal less than a pruta, you are exempt. If a goy steals pachus mishava pruta, he's chayiv misa. I honestly can tell you, I never understood that Chazal until yesterday. And the day before. I never really, why? A goy steals pachos mishav v'prut is chayiv misa? I never understood this. I go to the Chinese store and I buy often something for 99 cents. Very rarely does he give me back a penny. I give him a dollar or I give him $5. Very rarely. I don't say a word. I don't say one word to him. I don't, whatever. It's not going to make a dent. You know, one bit. But you know, that's Gezel. That's Gezel. He owes me a penny. A goy steals pachos, mishav, pruta, chayav, misa. I now understand why. If you give a goy, you let a goy take pachos, mishav, pruta, You gave him a finger? He'll eat up your head. What did it lead to by kneeling before them? What was the result? You kneel before them. You bow down. You ever watch Superman? When Zod, he bows. When the president of the United States, he bows before Zod. Anyone watch Superman as a child? Zod, he came from another world, and he came. Superman disappeared with his girlfriend, and he comes to the wife. He figures out who's in charge, who's the Bala boss, who's the Bala Habira, and Zod finally figures out it's the president of the United States, and he comes into the Oval Office. And then finally he meets the president and he tells the president, kneel, kneel. They should show this video now on social media. Kneel before me. So the president of the United States, he kneels before Zod. And then the president says, oh my God. And Zod says, Zod, not God. My name is Zod. What did it lead to? What did all this lead to? You know what it led to? To the mayor saying, we're going to take away the money from the police department. We don't need money. The police department doesn't need money to protect the yeshivas. We don't need money to protect the churches. We don't need money. We don't need money for crime. We'll give the money to them. They could have the money for free. Right? We don't need law enforcement. You don't need people patrolling the streets. You don't need anyone coming. You don't need law enforcement anymore. Ish es reu chayim biloho. You know where that started? When they kneel before them. Let a guy get away with pachos mishava pruta. Pachos mishava pruta. Then they'll destroy the whole New York City. I have a friend, it's a Hasidish guy. He's very with it. And he used to work for Google, he's a genius. He used to work for Google. He used to work for Microsoft. He used to work for Facebook. He had enough, he hated it. He hated working for them with such a sinas maves. He quit and he started his own company, startup. And he has a very hard time, rough time, ups and downs. Not so pashut, not so simple to make a parnasa, not so pashut. But at least he does his own thing. He enjoys being his own boss. And he dealt with the liberals, every liberal you can possibly imagine he dealt with. And it rubbed off on him. And he told me he was very sympathetic and he agrees with all of these. Chassidim, the Strymel. No, he's really with it. He agrees with, and he says to Manhattan, he says to me, how much damage already did they do in Manhattan? Let them let off some steam. What are they, a couple of million of dollars for the city? It's bupkis, a couple of million dollars. The city's in debt, trillions of dollars. I'm listening to him. What do I know? He's a workaholic. He hasn't slept in years. You know, he's dykes, workaholic. What do I know? He deals with these people. This is what he tells me. But when I saw on the news that in Minneapolis, there's no longer a police department. You know, no more. No more. And the mayor says, in New York, it's going to be the same thing. The same thing. You know what that means? It means cuckoo, right? Cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo. Why? Because if a guy that steals pachos mishava pruta, if you let him get away with it, if you let him get away with it, then they want not just a pachos mishava pruta, they want a pruta, and then they want a dollar, then they want $1 million, then they want everything that you have. There's no law and order, there's no God, there's no nothing. They'll come and they'll literally eat you up for dinner. Ish es re'ehu chayim bilo'o. There'll be nothing. And it all starts when you give into them a pachos mishava pruta. What's it cost you to kneel before them? It's pachos, doesn't cost you anything. I'm the policeman. I have my gear and my shield, my baton, my taser. and my rubber bullets and tear gas, what does it cost to kneel before the criminals? The criminals. What does it cost? I don't think you, everyone here in this room, when you work with people, do you even notice they're black? I don't even notice. I used to work with a lot of people. I don't even know what you tell me. What color were they? You dealt today a whole day. You work with, I don't even remember. Either the person is a nice person, an honest person, and it's a pleasure to work with, or the person is a manuvel. I've dealt with many fun people who are manuvelim, unfortunately. And I've dealt with many people of color that are tzaddikim. I don't know what you're talking about. We have a president 8 years who was a man of color. I don't get it. I really, really don't get it. And Baruch Hashem, I'm not a university. I'm not a political organization. I don't take money from the government. And I'm not running for office. So, and I take money from the government, but I mean, I don't take money from the government as an organization. So, I could just say it to you the way it is. I don't get it. And Chazal say, a goy that steals pachos mishove pruta is chayiv misa. I finally get it. And I find that alluded to here in this Maimon Chazal. According to the Malbim says, Mayim, you're violent. You're a violent creature. Look what you've done to the world. You have destroyed the world. We need you. We need you. I need your talents, but moderation. Whenever you go out to destroy, to do destruction, I'm gonna hold you by a leash. A leash. What's the leash? Erya Seor Kashdecha, a double lasha. Keep the water on a tight leash. Because if you let it loose, it will destroy the world, just like they have a track record of destroying the world. Okay, this shiur was sponsored by Jewish Life Matters. All right, we'll stop over here.
Instead of defunding the police department, they should defund the Department of Education.
Ooh. Okay, we're going to take a short break. And we're going to do two things today. Yeah. We learn about the laws. This week is the laws of Refuah. Kel na refah na la. Miriam was ill in this week's parasha. And Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalel for her. So I want to go over very quickly all of the halachic issues that present themselves in a hospital. I have a kuntres, a very nice kuntres. The laws of a hospital. Okay, it's not. There are not that many chidushim present in that, but at least it talks about all the issues. And afterwards, we'll talk about uviyoyim simchaschem and another pasuk in this week's parasha, more of a hashkafa inyan. Okay, I'll be back in 2 minutes.
Sam, what's about you? You put on the quail, the rats for the roof in Auschwitz in 1944. Yes. Yesterday was the keyboard.